Well, Charlie, only about 35, 36 years. That's not very long. Well, good afternoon to all of you. I feel very privileged to be here today. I haven't been in Oklahoma City for church in quite some time. But my wife wanted me to mention, first of all, how much the prayers and the cards meant to her when she was ill. And as part of the family, you know, we look at you as well. But it really means a lot when you're really not feeling very well to receive that encouragement. And we wanted to extend our deep thanks to you for all that and your prayers. Well, brethren, I was trying to think about what I should say, what I should speak about here in Oklahoma City. And I had given a sermonette in Tulsa some time ago. And I thought, well, this would be a good one, I think. It would be a real good one. And I brought a prop. I usually don't use props, but here's my prop today. Can you see that? Well, if you look in the middle, there's a dot. Okay? Well, that's the prop. And what that's to demonstrate is if you were to put your hand over your left eye and about 6 inches from your face you moved it sideways, the dot would disappear. And what that demonstrates is that what we don't understand is the fact that our mind plays tricks on us. We actually have this blind spot in our eyes. But our brain fills in the differences so that when you look out, you don't see it. It's not there. But if you hold it again and move the dot across, it just simply disappears. Well, physically, we have a blind spot, and we don't really see it and didn't know it and may not have known it until today. But this came from an article that I read back in the, I think it was in the 80s. It was in one of the Good News magazines, and I plagiarized some of its contents and then updated it as well. So if you remember that, or if you have Good News, you might go back and find the article because it was very, very good, very enlightening. But so we can see that we have a physical blind spot. So what if we had a spiritual blind spot where we couldn't see something that was obvious maybe to somebody else, or things we couldn't see in our life? That was a character flaw. So what is this blind spot hiding that maybe we don't even see yet? And so I said, well, okay, let's begin to see. What would happen if you had one? I got a feeling we do. And how can you know if you do have one? Well, obviously, we have to turn to the source of all of our information, which is the Bible. We would read it, we would study, we would begin to learn what God says about that. And if we look, the first thing you have to acknowledge is that you really want to know. You know, do I really want to know if I've got a problem and can't see it? And that's the basis that you've got to begin with, is that you've got to decide you want to know. If we looked in Psalms 26, 2 and 3, and I'll just read it from my notes. It says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth." Well, that says exactly what we as Christians today should be doing every day. Examining ourselves. Examine me, Father. Show me my faults and my problems. You know, we know that he has a great love for us. And so we need to ask him to help us. So when we study the Bible and we begin to pray, we need to ask him to show us. So we pray and we ask God for his help. And again, I'll read this out of my notes for time's sake. In 1 Corinthians 11:28, probably most people can quote that right off the cuff, is that this is, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup." So it says we have to examine ourselves. We have to look. We pray and we ask God to show us what we can't see. But you must be honest. Don't, you know, if I have a problem, you know, and I recognize that, what is that problem? What is it? Now, you have to begin to start to look and you have to really examine it. And in that blind spot, what happens is we push things in there where we can't see them. We don't really acknowledge the fact that something we do is not right. You know, maybe it's things at home, or maybe it's things at the job. Well, we would never do it here. You know, and those are the kind of things that we may acknowledge, but we just turn a blind eye towards. And that's not right. You know, we need to begin to realize those things have got to be taken care of. Those things have got to be done. But I do want you to turn with me to Jeremiah 17. Because this, brethren, is a key for finding, searching out, and discovering spiritual blind spots. You've got to realize this first. And once you do, then you can begin to work on that problem, the thing that you find. The search begins there. It's Jeremiah 17, and again in verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Brethren, we've got to realize that our heart is deceitful. It'll lie to us. In fact, we will lie to ourselves. But we've got to realize and understand that if our problem is our tongue, foul mouth, foul language, if we smoke or if we drink too much or if we're not very kind or loving to our family or wife, those things have got to be acknowledged. You've got to look, but you've got to want to know and to look at these things, to find, discover what's hidden in that blind spot. What's hidden behind our hearts and minds that we don't want to acknowledge. In fact, we don't want to look at this, because if we change, sometimes change is pain. But God has called us out to a change, a life of change. Trials will and tests will come. We must be honest with ourselves. Our Father is testing our heart. He's trying the reins. And then we must humble ourselves to see what He is trying to do. What is He trying to show us? So, if a friend comes, a brother, this may happen in circumstance, comes to you and says, you know, I've noticed this. Are you willing to hear? Are you willing to listen? It might be somebody at work or a friend. Somebody may stop you in a grocery store. I mean, you don't know how this is coming. God can work through all kinds of instruments and people. It doesn't have to be by revelation where the clouds roll back and He speaks to you. It didn't have to be from right here at the pulpit where Mr. Welch or someone speaks and tells you, hey, you need to look at these things. It might be by means that you don't understand. But don't turn away from it. Accept it. Think about it. Don't get angry or mad because these people said something about you that said, you got a bad temper. What's up with you? Oh, well, maybe I do have a problem with temper. Maybe I should accept that fact and go on. When God reveals something to you, stop. Be humble enough to realize that maybe God used this Balaam's donkey to reveal something to you. So think about it. I remember a few years back there was a song, Pam Tillis sang. I don't even know what the whole song was about. All I remember is the title, and I saw the video where she was being carried along on this litter, and she was dressed up like Queen Cleopatra, and the song was the Queen of Denial. Because she didn't want to face it. She lived in denial. And brethren, you got to understand, denial is a great robber. You know, it will rob you of blessings that you could have. Because we deny the fact that anything is wrong. We think we've got it okay. But this blind spot has got us so convinced that this is really not a problem. That we deceive ourselves. And yet God is trying to show us. He wants us to look at ourselves, to humbly approach Him. And He's such a loving Father that He is going to help us. And so if we deny these things, we can't grow. It stops us. It's like a limiting factor in our life. But we also have to be careful about judging. And again, turn quickly to Matthew 7. While you're turning here, it's 1 through 5. And it's another very familiar scripture to all of us. It says, judge not that you be not judged. What judgment you judge, you will be judged. I'm going to drop down to 3. It says, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but cannot see the plank in your own eye? And that's really the point of the matter. Is that if we were judging ourselves and trying to fix me, then it would be so easier. We would have so little time to worry about your problem. I need to fix my problem. And your judgment would be much less critical. And in this article, and I'm going to Keith's article because I remember it very clearly. It says, have you ever noticed that a certain type of sin catches your attention? Or someone's actions annoy you? Have you ever noticed that? When you see it, it says, being so sensitive to such an action may be an indication of your own sin. So think about that for a minute. You have something you see people do. Okay, guys, here goes one. You look up and you say, look at that guy. Look at that girl. Well, wait a minute. Were you looking at her first and then you noticed him looking and so you're blaming him for looking? And you may be the one that really has the problem instead. Or the other way around. Girls might see, let's take an example. Mary Sue, she's got, look at a brand new Gucci purse she's got. Well, is it lust that you see first? So we need to be very sensitive to the fact that if you have something that annoys you, or you see a sin or something that someone else does, maybe that's an indication of something you've got a problem with as well. So don't be so quick to judge other people. Christ called the Pharisees blind guides because of their hypocrisy. You know, we see so much of this problems in the world, sin, and we're not a part of that. We're supposed to be different from the world. We're supposed to have a different set of values and lifestyle. And yet sometimes we get drug into many of the things that happen in the world. But if you begin to see that you do have a blind spot, maybe through circumstances, whatever it is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to make a change in your life? Are you going to do that? How are you going to do it? Well, I'm going to give you four tools that are going to help you, once you see this blind spot, that you can begin to overcome it. The first one is to recognize it. You've got to recognize the blind spot. You've got to recognize you've got a problem first. And once you see that, you've got to acknowledge it. The second one is to reject. You've got to reject the problem. You've got to say, I see it, and reject it. The third one is repentance. Obviously, once we see that, we have to focus our life on repenting, getting that thing out. But you can't let it slip back into this. You know, it's not an out of sight, out of mind. You reject this thing. You reject this problem, the sin. But you have to acknowledge it. You know, it's not that you beat a drum and you walk up and down the aisle and say, I've got a sin and this is what it is. But you can't let the sin get back hidden. If you have to write yourself a little sticky note and put them on the mirrors or something, don't let it slip back in the blind spot. You've got to begin to once you've acknowledged it and you've rejected it and you've repented of it, you've got to continue to fight against it. You and I both know sin just doesn't go away just because you want it to. You have to fight against it. But, brethren, you've got to not only repent and do away with the sin, but you have to replace it. Replace it with something good, something positive. Bible study, prayer. If it's a new hobby, get a new hobby. If this was what drags you into that sin, get away from it. Do something different. If you don't fill the hole that you just created, it will fill itself with something. And it may not be something you want. So you have to fill it. So as our lives become less and less and less like the world and more like Jesus Christ, we have to fill it with something. And hopefully what it looks like, what we're filling it with, is what Jesus Christ looks like. Well, I'm going to conclude, brethren, with one more scripture. And it's a real good example of someone who had a terrible blind spot that caused him to do something terrible. And yet, once he saw it, he changed. And that's King David and his sin with Bathsheba and his murder of Uriah the Hittite. And in Psalm 51, beginning in 3 and 4, cutting into the middle of the verse, Psalm 51, 3 and 4, it says, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. David was a man after God's own heart. But the problem was, David didn't see his sin at first. He had this blind spot for Bathsheba, this sin that he did, and it cost a man his life, and it cost a child his life. It took someone like that he trusted. Can you imagine going in the king and just confusing him of something? Well, you'd get your head cut off. You'd be killed. The problem was is that someone came to him that he trusted, which was the prophet Nathan, and told him this story. And David was so outraged that he said, that man should die. And when he revealed the fact that it was him, he was the one who had done it, David repented. And even though David could have done it again, he was king, he never did. He never did it anything like that again. You know, brother, we have a physical blind spot. You know, you can borrow my card, and I can show you how to do it, and you can find it. That's a fact. It's a physical problem that we all have. But our mind hides that spot. You don't walk around with two big black circles in front of you that you can't see in. Because your mind and the way God designed it is he's filled in that blind spot. Spiritually, sometimes we fill in the same blind spot. And we may find that we do have problems in our life. But the point is that now we look and we can see it. The question is, what's hiding in there and what are you going to do about it?